day that we're celebrating our country and our country's birthday. And this morning we looked at talking about the type of country that God blesses, the one who makes God their Lord, and talked about the importance of making God our Lord also, our Master and our Savior. This afternoon, we're going to look at the title of the message is Speaking Up. There is sometimes where it's best to remain silent, and sometimes there's a time when we need to speak up. And I think it's important that we do the first message that we did earlier, and then we get to this part. You know, I think we need to be led by the Spirit of God, when to speak up, how to speak up. Sometimes when we open our mouths, we make things worse. And sometimes when we stay silent, we don't have the courage to speak as God would have us to speak. So remember, singspiration means the message is a little bit shorter and there's more singing. So it won't be a long message, but there's two different times where someone's thinking, should we stay silent or not? And the first one here, I'm going to read a little bit of the story. This is about Queen Esther. And Queen Esther had the opportunity to stand up for her nation, but she was a little concerned. And the story, it talks about Esther. His people was trying to be destroyed, the Jewish people, by a evil, wicked man named Haman. And upon that time, Esther found out about it. Esther was probably the only person in that kingdom that had an audience with the king. Probably the only person that could stand up and say something, but it might cost her life. So this afternoon, there's two times when it's important to speak up. Or actually, I know probably after church, a number of people could come tell me a lot of times where people should have spoke up that didn't in the Bible, or verses that go along with it, and also times when people spoke when they shouldn't have. So I know there's more than just two. But the two we're going to look at today is, first is speaking up for those in harm's way. Speaking up for those in harm's way. Let's go ahead and just read the majority of the chapter here, and it kind of gives you a setting of what happened. Sake of time, we'll go ahead and actually go to verse number 8. It says, also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was in Shushan to destroy, to show it unto Esther, and declare it unto her. Now her uncle Mordecai was there. He was weeping in the gate, wasn't supposed to do that. Esther did not know what was happening. She asked for someone to go check on him. And those are the first verses that are leading up to that. There's been a decree given that at this day and this time that the Jewish nation was going to be wiped out. The king did not know that Esther was of the Jewish nation at that point in time. And it says, to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spake unto Hatak, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come in unto the king, into the inner court, which is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live, but I have not been called to come in unto the king for these 30 days. Now, the story is that Mordecai says, I want you to go to the king on behalf of your people to save your people. And she's saying, it might cost me my life. There's reasons. Devil will always give you reasons not to speak up when you're supposed to. He'll always say things that will say, hey, look, it'd be best if you stay silent. Imagine what could happen to you if you spoke up. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. And he's saying, don't think this isn't going to affect you. And sometimes when we don't want to speak up for those that are in harm's way, we just think, hey, it's not my fight. It's not my battle. It's not going to affect me. But when we're supposed to speak up, it will always affect us in one way, shape, or form when we don't. Verse number 14. For if thou altogether holding thy peace, which means if you stay quiet at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So Mordecai is saying to her, look, if you stay quiet, God's going to use somebody else. But it's still something that's going to hurt you and your family. And that last phrase, I love that phrase, for such a time as this. He's telling Mordecai, is telling Esther, hey, don't think that you're something special. Remember, God is the one that gave you a chance for this influence. God is the one that made you the queen. God is the one that gave you this opportunity. And he might have done all that for this moment in time. Right. Don't miss your chance to speak up when you're supposed to. He might have arranged it all. He might have arranged the fact that she won the beauty pageant to become the next queen. He's the one that maybe made her so attractive to the king that the king had to have her among all the other ladies. So God, he says, for such a time as this, it's time to speak up. And even though there might be challenges, this might be the whole reason why you're here at this moment, this time, and in this place. Let's keep on going. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, neither day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise. And so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went this way and did according to that all that Esther had commanded him. So a couple thoughts here. Speaking up for those that are in harm's way. So you have a whole nation or a whole group of people as the Jews. This man, this wicked man, hated Mordecai so much he hated all the Jews. Wanted to wipe them out. Now let's remember, who's the one moving Haman to do these things? It's the devil. Remember, he's the one that's behind the plots. He's the one behind the scenes. If he can get rid of all the Jews, guess what? Christ isn't coming. And he's moved to do something that's so heinous and so wrong just because of the relationship he has with one man and some of the other dealings he had with other Jews. Seems preposterous. But just as God in his foreknowledge and God in his, he arranged the fact that Esther was there, that Satan's trying to wipe out the Jews. And Mordecai says, you have this chance. God put you here for a reason. This moment, this time, and in this place. Now, how do we apply that to us today in our application? Who is it that we can fight for that might be in harm's way? And as we enter the thought, and you know I'm not a political preacher, but I'm also a person who thinks that you stand up for things that are right, too. And you think about, we even consider those that are unborn. The unborn today. That is, you know, people have no problem killing the unborn. They care more about animals that are unborn than they do the humans. But someone should speak up for those. And who should do that? Is those that believe that there's a God and there's a sanctity of life. Now, there's different ways you can. You know, you can be a good citizen. You can talk to your elected officials. You can talk to other biblical people that sees unbiblical laws. But someone should be praying and standing up and fighting for those things, people that can't fight for others. Not only you think about the unborn, but you think about the future generations. Most of us are not going to listen to little kids when it comes to things that are really that important. Most of us are not going to look at those toddlers or even sometimes teenagers and even sometimes young adults. We just kind of say, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. And they might not be able to influence the world, even though it seems like sometimes young people got a greater voice in the day and time that we live in than adults do. But we need to be fighting for them. Imagine what it's going to be like someday for your, and say, now I'm going to say my grandchildren, because I don't have any grandchildren yet. I'm looking in the future. I know for some of you it's great-grandchildren, and some of you it's great-great-grandchildren, and some of you it's great-great-great-grandchildren. But what's it going to be like in 40 years if someone doesn't stand up for what's right today? If someone isn't going to stand up for those that are in harm's way, and someone needs an opportunity to stand. Now, I want you to think a couple things about this. Some may not be able to speak for themselves, but God has given you influence. God gave Esther influence. Remember, the only reason why Esther has this influence is because God gave it to her. Remember, speaking up may be the reason why God even gave you that influence to begin with. Yes. So as you consider the day and time you live at, and the moment where you're at, and the influence that you have, let's use those things to speak up for those that are in harm's way. Let's speak up for those. As David said, is there not a cause? And remember, when we speak up, it should always be for the glory of God. It should always be for the generations that are following behind us. It should always be to do God's work. Solomon instructed his son, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Solomon didn't live that way, though, because he sold the truth when he began to be pluralistic in worshiping other gods with his wives. You think about it, what happened to Rehoboam? He sold that truth, and because he passed that down to the next generation, then Rehoboam passes down. And we see the mess they're in 1 Kings. We're going through that on Sunday mornings. They're in a huge mess. Elijah was the only one standing that day on Mount Carmel. Why is that? It's because someone sold the truth. Someone didn't stand up for what was right when it needed to be, and it's been passed down. So fight for those. Fight for those that do not have a voice. Fight for what the generations of those that are in harm's way, that if we stand silent, we don't know what it might mean in the future. Second thing, and once again, you could have a whole sermon about that, but for sake of time, we're going to move to the second thought. Take your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Speaking up for those who do not know the truth. Speaking up for those who do not know the truth. As most of you know the story of Esther, Esther did go into the king. Esther, it took her a little while to get the courage up to say exactly what needed to be said, but it was worked out that the Jews were able to protect themselves and the Jewish line was saved. Once again, it would have came from a different route, but God wanted to use Esther at that moment in time. God allowed her to be raised up. There might be a reason why you're born in America. There might be a reason why you have influence over your family and even inside your where you live at. Don't stay silent when God wants you to speak up. The next thing is, speaking up for those who do not know the truth. Now, it's another story that take a little while to read, and we don't want to read all of it, but it gives us understanding in verse chapter 6, verse number 24, paints us a little bit of a picture. Chapter 6, verse 24, 2 Kings. And when he came to the tower, wrong chapter. And it came to pass that after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went and besieged Samaria. So we see here that a large army gets around Samaria, and it causes them, when they're outside the city, it means that no one can go in, no one can come out. And they begin to besiege it, and the idea they have cut off all lines of getting food and water in. Because of that, in verse number 25, there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of a cap of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now, we don't want to get too gross, but at the same time, you know, those are not delicacies. Those are the worst parts of the animal, and they are being sold for huge amounts of money. Why is that? It's because they plan on eating it. That's how bad the famine was. Gets even a little bit worse. And once again, skip down to verse number 28. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So this is how bad the famine is. They're selling lots of money for the donkey's head and for part of a dung, but they also are becoming cannibals. And not just cannibals, but cannibals of their own children. And that's a pretty dark time. Now in chapter number 7, we see there's a group of lepers that are there. Chapter 7, verse number 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, and this is referring to the second, you know, the guy that the king's listening to, he hears what Elisha says. Elijah's saying that you're going to be able to see flour sold for hardly anything, and the barley sold for even less. Over there, when they were talking about 40 silver, 80 pieces of silver, and talking about 5 pieces of silver, they're talking about over a year's wages to just buy the donkey's head. I mean, it's a huge amount of money just for something that's not going to nourish him very long. Over here, they're saying a shekel, and they're saying for it's the price is going to change so much. And the person that's standing there with the king is mocking Elijah. Elijah doesn't believe it could happen, but it was God's man. Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if a man of God said, 'Behold, if the Lord would make the windows in heaven, might this thing be?' He says, even if God opened up the windows in heaven, how's this going to be? And he said, 'Behold, thou shalt see it with thine own eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof.'" And that's not really the sermon, but it kind of gives you a background that Elijah said what's going to happen. And look how God makes it happen. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And when they said one to another, "Why sit ye here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city." So these four guys are there. Obviously, the people in the city are starving. The leprous men that are out in the leprous county, they're starving too. They said, "If we go in the city, the famine's in there, we're going to die. If we sit here still, we die also." So we're going to die either way. "Now, therefore, come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And he said, "So let's go over to the enemy and let's ask them for some food." And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel have hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the othermost part of the camp, they went in one tent and did eat and drink and carried them silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And they came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. So we see the story. God allows something to happen, causes the enemy to turn around and leave. And they come there and there's a whole bunch of things. Now remember, over in the city that's not that far away, there's people starving. There's people eating dove's dung and donkey's head and even being cannibalistic. And here they're feasting. They got food, they got drink, there's gold, there's silver, there's all these things. And so their response is, after doing this for a little while, says, "We do not well. This is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household." So when is another time we should speak up? Another time is when we speak up is when someone else does not know the truth. Now, those people inside the city thought that the Syrians were still out there, and they thought that the great war was getting ready to happen and that there was no relief. But just a little ways away, there was plenty of food, plenty of drink, even gold and silver, donkeys and horses. There was everything that was needed and something more. I think you get the understanding if you heard me preach about this years ago. It talked about we do not well when we do not tell people the truth. We're not doing well. It's like this four lepers men. They had all the food they need, and there was a city that was dying and that needed help, but they were just sitting there. And thankfully, they came to their senses and they said, "Hey, we do not well. We're sitting here, but just down the road, there's people who need what we have, who need the knowledge that we have, that the Syrians are no longer there and that the Syrians are gone and everything they have and everything they need is sitting right here for them." So you think about it. When it comes to those that don't know the truth, we're referring to the gospel. We do not do well when we sit with all God's blessings and all God's promises and we sit amongst one another rejoicing in the Lord and praising the Lord and being thankful in the Lord and not telling someone else who does not do the truth. Just as wrong as it would be for them to sit there amongst one another and kind of say, "Hey, this is wonderful. This is great." And that's what we do when we come to church. We talk about, boy, God is good. Boy, God, and he is. And we're supposed to praise him. We learned about that this morning. We're not just with our mouths, but with our actions too. And we do not well. I do not well. You do not well when we have the truth and we don't share it with somebody else. You think about it. There's in that city, they were desperate physically. But all around us, there's people that's
desperate spiritually, lost and dying without God. I don't know about you, that speaks to my heart. And that's the time where I need to speak up. When do we like to speak up? We like to speak up when it makes us look good. We like to speak up when it's convenient and easy. We like to talk about the Lord when there's someone else there, and I think we should. He should be on our tongue all the time. But we do not well when we have salvation and we have truth and we stay silent. When outside the road, just down the street, there's people who need it. So, two different times we should speak up. I think we should speak up for those that are in harm's way, those that cannot speak for themselves, and fighting for the generation to come. I think we also need to learn to speak up when there are those who do not know the truth. Now, can we make a list of things other times we should speak up? Yes. When a Christian is doing wrong and helping them, yes. You know, when, you know, truth is being criticized or truth is being manipulated, yes. There's a long list of things. But tonight, this afternoon, let's consider these two things. Am I speaking up for those that don't have a voice? And am I speaking up for those that don't have the truth? We're going to have a short time invitation. So let's go ahead and have everybody stand to their feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to give you a chance just to respond if God spoke to your heart. And then after this, we're going to take a little break for